Well, praise God. Well, I'm certainly glad everybody came to church this morning. Look at that person around you and say, boy, you did a good job. Made it to church. Even got cleaned up, combed your hair, looked pretty good. Well, I got a word I want to share with you this morning, so get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of... Let's go to Psalms this morning. We're going to start this morning in Psalm 77. I want to go ahead and continue on this message that I've been talking about faith. And told y'all to go there, and I haven't got to Psalm 77. I've been talking to you about faith because I feel, and maybe I'm just totally, completely wrong, but I don't believe I am. I believe there's Christians all over the world. Christians, especially here in the United States, that are, they're Christians, and their relationship with Jesus only is about them dying. Okay? That's the only reason why they have a relationship with Jesus. It's because they believe that He's the Son of God, and they believe that when they die and they believe in Jesus, they'll go to heaven. That's the truth, but that's the end of their relationship. It ends right there. They're just waiting. They're living their life on earth just like everybody else on earth. By not walking in any of the principles, not walking in any of the plans that God has for them in life, any of the benefits of being a Christian, they're not experiencing any of that. All they're waiting for, they're just living life, comes what may, throw up some prayers now and then, ask God to do things for them now and then, don't ever see any really results in their prayers, and so they're just living a life just like everybody else in the world who doesn't believe in God, except when they die, they believe they're going to heaven. That's the only thing they have faith in. Let me put it that way. Now, that's only salvation. That's only the small part of the whole contract, the whole part of what Jesus did for you is getting you into heaven. It's a great part. Glory to God. I mean, you know, I mean, that's a big plus. But that's not the only thing He did for us. God wants to work in our lives every day. He wants to have a vibrant living relationship with us in every moment of our lives. Our lives should be here on this earth, according to what the scripture says, like heaven on earth. That we should be living in a relationship that's so alive with our God that He's helping us get through every problem. He's helping us overcome the hurdles in life. He's helping us, giving us direction in life. He's finding things for us. He's teaching us things. He's working with us. All this stuff also comes about in the whole package called salvation. Yeah, when you leave this earth, yes, you go to heaven. And there's a whole new set of rules there. But it's still going to be operated by faith. According to Hebrews chapter 11, everything in this world, everything that we have seen, everything that exists around us, everything that goes on, was created by the principle that God uses called faith. Y'all with me? Now think about it like this. To put this in something that I can kind of grab hold of. Well, I really don't know what I'm talking about. I'm really kind of just blowing some smoke here because I don't really understand computers. I haven't figured out television yet, okay? I don't know how they can do something in a camera and shoot it and goes to the airwaves and comes down the TV. I don't know how that all works. That just blows my mind. But we've got everybody arguing about, you know, you've got your Apple lovers. And they just say that all PCs are just, you know, they're garbage, they're trash, because they're sold out Apple people. Y'all with me? And then you got the other side of the story over here. Everybody that's a Mac user says, man, Apple's no good for anything like this. No, right. But technically, I don't even understand how either one of them work. Okay? I can understand how to work one, but how they actually literally the mechanics behind them that make them work, I don't understand that at all. I don't understand any of that at all. I don't understand how I can take this iPad this morning and, you know, it brings up 27 translations of the Bible. I don't know. Where is it, you know? How'd they get them those pages in there, you know? Are y'all with me here? And we argue. And then you got diehard people that are just, I love the commercial. Have y'all seen that commercial where they're at a wedding and the guy gets up to take a picture with his camera and then they start arguing about the different phones and then they all end up in a big fight because they're all fighting over it. And one guy rips off his shirt and he's got a big apple tattooed in his chest, you know? I'm like, there's people like that out there in life that, I mean, they're sold out 100%. This is the only thing. Everything else is garbage. Y'all with me? Well, I can guarantee you that my iPad here this morning does more than I know how to make it work. Are y'all with me? I don't know about y'all, but I'm still finding things on my old PC that I said, I didn't know it'd do that. I've had it for 20 years. Y'all with me? I find out something. I didn't know it did that. I could have been doing it 20 years ago easier. I didn't know you could do that. Oh, you mean you click on that? That's it. I have it on. Well, the kingdom of God is like that. Okay? There's things that operate in the principles of the kingdom of God that we have only scratched the surface and just accepted the one command, ask Jesus into your life and you can go to heaven. And there's all this other great benefits. There's all this great things that he will do for you, but it's not going to operate in your life unless you understand the principles of it operating. And it's the system called faith. It's a system. It's used in the kingdom of heaven. It's used by God himself. It's called faith. We think a lot of times faith, we reduce it down to just, well, you're just hoping and praying something's going to happen. That's not faith. Faith is understanding the principles of God, understanding what his word is to you. And then there's something which I showed you last week called a faith mechanism on the inside of you, because according to Romans 10, it says that every one of y'all have the measure of, or the ability by to produce faith. It's in all of us. The Bible says it's in all of us. There's nobody out there that says, well, I don't know, I just can't believe that. You could, you just don't. Hello? You have the capacity to. It's in you. You're created to. But if you never use it, you never understand it, you never push the command on that button, you never operate in it, you're never going to see any of the benefit of it. Hello? Y'all all looking at me funny? Come on. Need a few smiles this morning. A couple of somethings out there to let me keep. Otherwise, we'll just go home. I'm not trying to blow your mind out here. I'm just trying to tell you, Jesus is so great, so amazing, so awesome, what he will do for you. The song we said a while ago about in the name of Jesus, you know, he'll break the chains of bondage. He'll break anything in your life. He'll fix anything in your life. He'll mend your broken heart. He'll mend your discouragements and your despairs. He'll show you a way. He'll create a path. He'll bless you like you can never be understand about the blessings of God if you'll just operate by the principle called faith, which means that you trust in him solely and completely. But it doesn't come out of trusting out of your head. It comes out of trusting out of your heart. Are y'all with me? Now it says here, look at this, in Psalm 77. He says, I cried out to God with my voice. To God with my voice. He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Have any of y'all ever been in that situation that you were in a day of trouble and so you turned and sought the Lord? I got to tell you something. I was raised in a godly manner. My parents, God bless them, they raised me in church and I was raised under a godly manner. And when I was in trouble, I knew to pray. All right? Did I have any faith that anything was going to happen? Not really, but you had to do something in the moment of desperation and so you prayed. I prayed and wanted God to do things, and nothing happened, but I didn't really expect anything to happen because I'd never been taught anything about the principles of God. I was just religious. All right? I can remember playing football and looking across the line at the person across me and say, oh, God, help me. This guy's going to kill me when they say hut. Yeah, I'm telling you. I've been in those situations. We had to play Fall City. I went to school in Sabinal. We had to play Fall City one time. The guy across from me had a full beard. The next morning, I looked like I had the measles or something. And what I got to looking at, it was nothing but cleat marks all over my body. And it was a red circle with a, you know, with a mesh impression on it where they'd stepped all over me all night long, all over my jersey. And I was just covered. Needless to say, we didn't win that night. I prayed, oh God. But I didn't have any understanding of prayer. I didn't really have any faith in prayer. It was just something you threw up. Folks, we as Christians should see answers to our prayers. If you're not seeing answers to your prayers, then you're not praying right. You don't understand right. You're not operating in the principles of God right. Now, that doesn't mean you can walk outside and say, I want a Cadillac. Okay, now that's just getting into foolishness and presumption. That's a whole other message. But what I'm talking about today, he says, in the day of my trouble, I sought to the Lord. My hand was stretched out at night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. This guy's in trouble, right? He's in a bad place. I remembered God and was troubled. Look at the second part of verse 3. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Do you know that's what we usually do? Instead of producing faith, we produce complaining. Well, why is things going like this? Why can't this happen? Why isn't that ever? Why isn't this going to happen? Why don't you know? And as the more you complain, what happens is you're doing the opposite of what faith is. Faith is standing and declaring what God's word says and saying, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but you're going to make it happen because I believe your word's true. Complaining is taking what the enemy says and then putting voice to it. Complaining is nothing more than you being discouraged and expressing your discouragement. Now, there's different types of complaining. You know, some of the complaining we do, I don't know if it's just because we live in such a negative world, we just become negative in the things that we're you know, the way we perceive things. And the complaining is just, you know, like surface complaining. But then there's other complaining that you're doing that you're really building a very good case for doubt. Okay? You're going back and you're thinking, well, you know, I remember you know, nothing ever happened right for my mother. Nothing ever happened right for my brother. Nothing ever happened right for my sister. And so nothing ain't ever going to happen right for me. Now you're building a really, really good case for discouragement and despair. And you're really just, I mean, it's like you've got the black pot out and you're just whipping up a witch's cauldron of doom and gloom. And, you know, before long, you're going to fall into depression. Then there's the complaining like last night trying to play cards with my wife. There's something about the Schaefers. I need to take them all to Las Vegas, give every one of them like $1,000, set them down at a blackjack table and see what happens. I mean, my Lord, if anybody can be as lucky as playing cards as those people are, it's not even fair. This is how bad it is, church. This is how bad it is that a pastor has to put up with. I was playing her the other night, and she just kept, I mean, it was ridiculous. She was beating me. I said, that's it. It's stupid. I'm going to deal the hands backwards. I'm going to shuffle the cards, and I'm going to deal me your hand. And she beat me. I said, this is something, some kind of crazy anointing for you to win cards. I ain't playing no more. I put it up and went to bed. I said, I ain't playing no more. It's ridiculous. That kind of complaining is merited. It does bring discouragement every time I hear the cards. But he says here in Psalm 77 that he became overwhelmed when he began to complain. Listen to me, one of the first things you've got to do if you're going to walk in faith is you have got to control what comes out of your mouth. You've got to learn to be quiet and quit complaining about everything because all you're doing is feeding your doubt instead of feeding faith. He goes on, verse 4, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of the ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Okay, now the guy is beginning to catch hold of complaining isn't getting him anywhere. So all of a sudden he begins to get hold of himself. And he says, wait a minute, stop, be quiet, start to think about what does God's word say? Now see, if you've ever walked and seen God do something for you, well then you can always go back to that place and say, yeah, but I remember that time that I was in a bad situation and God delivered me. And so then you're starting now to meditate on the things of faith. Now all of a sudden something's changing on the inside of you. You're beginning to be built and strengthened in the areas of faith. So now something's about to start to work for you. Because he said he quit speaking and he started meditating. If you want to walk in the things of faith, you have got to learn to control your mouth and control your thoughts. Okay? This isn't really like, y'all don't, I can tell by the looks on your faces, nobody wants to jump up and say, preach home, brother. You know? I've told y'all a million times, if I had a can of magic pixie dust that I could throw on you and make your lives just perfect, I'd do it. I'd give it away free. But that isn't the way the kingdom of God works. Kingdom of God works means we have to do something. It's like trying to go on a diet and you're not losing weight and you have to finally go back and look and see that maybe you're cheating all the time. So there's no sense complaining about the diet. There's no sense complaining about this. No sense complaining about that. I mean, the bottom line is you're cheating. Admit it. I was amazed. Some of y'all may have seen this show. I just happened to catch it. It's the first time I'd ever seen it. I sat there and wept. Called Undercover Boss, where these guys go into their businesses and they're undercover and they were showing, it was like just the clips of the people that these guys had generously blessed in their company. And just seeing that was so godly, that they would look at somebody and bought them a house or did something like that to help these people get started that really were good workers and became productive people in their companies. But what also amazed me was the amount of people that they caught on the job who were terrible employees, that would not admit that they were terrible employees. That they took the attitude like, well, you know, this is who I am. And, you know, they should just accept me. And I don't know why I can't get a job because, I mean, this is who I am. I am who I am. And I'm like, no, you're a terrible employee. The world knows you're a terrible employee. You're so deceived, you won't admit it and take responsibility for your life that you possibly just may be an idiot. And that you should change your attitudes, change your ways, and then maybe you could have some success. You see, as a Christian, we can't go and pick and choose the way we want God to do things. We either line up with His ways or we're not going to see anything work. You know what I mean? You can't parlay with God and say, well, listen, that's a little bit too hard. I don't really want to have to do that. I mean, gosh, forgive somebody? You got to be kidding. I don't want to do that, Lord. Well, He's not going to change. He's not going to stop and say, well, you know, in your case, you know, okay, I'll let you slide. No, because He's smart enough to know, because He is God and you're not, that there's a way that's going to work for you. And that unless you walk in forgiveness, unless you walk in His principles, you're not going to see blessing. And it's nobody's fault but our own. We have to take personal responsibility for our lives. Something that seems to be a epidemic plague in the world today, people do not want to take personal responsibility for the decisions they make. It's always somebody else's fault. I mean, all the way up to the top. They don't want to take personal responsibility. They don't want to say, I guess I've made some mistakes in life that got me in this hole. But if we're going to walk in the principles of the kingdom of God, it's a glorious thing. to have a vibrant relationship with God, it's a glorious thing. Now, I want to say a side note to this. Churches, and especially preachers, have messed everything up so much that they've not truly taught the church what is the principles of God, that they've got people's minds so messed up in what does God really want that a lot of people don't want to serve God because they have the wrong image of who God is. And it's the preacher's and the church's fault. I've told you all this, you know, forever. Once I leave these doors of the church, I never tell anybody I'm a pastor. I hide, man. I don't want to tell them that. I don't want to tell them at all that I'm a preacher. Because instantaneously, everybody's turned off. What a shame. What a shame. But if anybody finds out I'm a preacher, I mean, it goes downhill from there. And so I never tell anybody that. If they know it, fine, but I don't tell that. And I live my life just like you live your life out in front of everybody else. And that's the only way I know how to show people that Jesus is real. Because when it gets down to trying to be, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a non-denominational, I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever. Well, I'm going to tell you something. After a while, you know, that's just hoopla. Because there's some goofy people out there in the world. And some bad, bad preachers. And some bad, bad churches. Okay? So, I want you to look verse 6 one more time. He says, I call to remembrance my song in the night, and I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes diligent search. Now, this is where I want to go. He says his spirit makes diligent search. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, do you not know that you're the temple of God and the spirit of God lives in you? Now, what I want to finalize and finish this point up here is your spirit on the inside of you, born again spirit on the inside of you. When you've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, the Bible says that you are now the temple of the living God and the spirit of God lives and dwells on the inside of you. And if you will learn to tap into the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, he will say to you, you need to stop doing that. And you say, well, I don't know why I need to quit doing that. I like to do that. I remember. Because what's happening is, you know how, since I'm being the computer whiz this morning, and it's really a joke because I'm terrible, but you know how you can go, whatever you're going to do, like you need to find an email that you can't find, and you go and you put it in search, and you type in some of the name of the search or whatever, and you hit the deal, and it goes through, and it searches your emails and pops them up, right? The Spirit of God on the inside of you can be put in search mode by your heart, by faith, saying truly and honestly to yourself, Lord, I seem to be messing things up lately. Can you tell me what to do? You just turned your spirit on to search mode. Now the Holy Spirit's searching on the inside of you saying, okay, how can I explain to this guy what he needs to do to change? When Psalm 77 there, when he said, I meditate in my bed and my spirit makes diligent search. In other words, he stopped and said, okay, hold on. Help me here, Lord. What do I need to do? All of a sudden, man, it's going. The Holy Spirit's working on the inside of you to bring about your answer. Let me show you another one here. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. You see, you may not in your head understand why you're crazy, but the Spirit of God on the inside of you knows why you're crazy. And if you'll listen to the Spirit of God, he'll tell you what to do so you won't be crazy anymore. Not that any of you blessed children are crazy. We're all crazy. It's just the degrees of craziness. That's true. We've all got crazy ways. We all got crazy things and crazy thoughts from the way that we were raised and whatever, and the environment we're raised in. All of us have crazy thoughts. It's not If you think you're perfect, well, then that's your craziness. You're deceived. Right? And we have different degrees of craziness. And it's the craziness that we have on the inside of us that causes us to do things that get us out of the will of God or out of the principles of God, so that then things start getting out of whack. The wheel starts, you know, losing some lug nuts, and it starts, you know, it's not going straight anymore. You got the wobbles. Right? And so you can put your spirit on search mode to find out what you need by simply in faith stopping and saying, okay, Lord, I realize something's not right. I'm not doing right. Can you please show me what I need to do? All of a sudden, you're on search mode. Now, let me ask you something. If you were searching for an email and you typed in the address or whatever you typed in and you hit it on search and it's spinning around and it's working a search and you just got up and walked off, and you didn't go back and look, it will find your answer, but you still have to do something with it. Right? The Holy Spirit will find your answer, but if you don't go look again, if you threw up a flippant prayer and you're not really serious about it, I think most of our prayers start like this. Lord, can you change them? And then we really hang on to that for a long time, believing that that situation is going to change. When if we'd learned right off the bat to turn our spirit mode on search and go ahead and just say, Lord, what's wrong with me? And how can I deal with that situation? Then God lines everything up quicker. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, you might want to go look there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul broke it down into three parts here for us to understand. Spirit, soul, and body. So you got three voices speaking to you. You got the voice of the Spirit. That's the one you want to listen to. That's the guy that went on search mode for you and is trying to tell you what the answer is. You got the voice of your soul. That's the voice of what makes you, you. Y'all with me? Now, we're all different. Some of us like some things and some of us like something else. Y'all know I had a funeral this week, and I had to put on a coat and a tie. And I know more made it to Sab now than I was digging at my throat like a dog with a collar too tight. And I just looked at Laura and said, how could anybody live and have to go put a suit on every day? Oh, my gosh, this is horrible. It's the most wicked thing that could ever have been done, perpetrated upon humanity. I'm just digging at this thing. And then I have to stop and think, there's people all day long that get up, and business people that go to and get dressed up and go to work like that with suits on and stuff like that. It doesn't bother them. They don't act like the fool I am. But that's me. That's my soul speaking to me. That feels comfortable in blue jeans and boots. You all with me? So, it doesn't mean they're wrong and I'm right. It just means that there's different parts of our soul. You have to stop and that other person is not necessarily wrong for being like that. You're not wrong for being like you are. That's just the composition, the makeup of your soul. Some of y'all like certain things, and others you like other things. Okay? That's your soul, the voice of your soul. And then there's the voice of your body, or the voice of your flesh. The voice that always, 100% of the time, will get you in trouble. I don't know, and maybe some of y'all are got it more under control. I don't know that my flesh has ever spoke to me and told me anything good. If the voice of my soul says, you know, Robert, you need to exercise. The voice of my flesh says, you've got to be kidding. You know how hot it is and how much you're going to sweat, and how sore you will be. You've got to be kidding. There's no way you can do that. If I say, well, this week I'm going to eat right, and my that's the voice of my soul, voice of my body says, or the voice of my flesh says, are you kidding? This is party week. Instantly, it wants to eat a donut. Are y'all with me? I don't know if y'all's flesh is as crazy as mine. You know, somebody says something, and immediately the first voice to speak up is the voice of my flesh that says, you know, we go there and slap him down. And the whole time there's the voice of my spirit standing there saying, please listen to me. I'm your answer. I'll get you out of this mess. Listen to me. And so, you know, sometimes it's two against one. If my soul ever lines up with my flesh, I'm not listening to the voice of my spirit. But I've learned in life, if my soul, my thinking, will line up with the Spirit of God, and I'll get to thinking and meditating upon the Word, I dominate and defeat my flesh. Because it's two against one the other way. So let me show you this. I'll show you this in Scripture. Romans chapter 8. I read this the other day and saw this in just a new light. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay, now wait, just put this scripture in the application of what I'm talking about. To listen to what the voice of your body or your flesh is going to say, it's going to be adamantly opposed to God, and it's going to cause you death. But to take and listen to what the Spirit says, it says it's going to be life and peace. See, we always think about being carnally minded to meaning sitting around thinking about something bad to go do. And churches have taught forever, sitting around, you know, them sinners are going to go out drinking and dancing and smoking, you know, and made that the premier thing that, oh my God, be a Christian, you can't do any of that. When they could just be hard-hearted, hypocritical, full of pride, selfish ambition, all the other lusts of the flesh that there are in life, and be walking in them all day long. But they weren't out on Saturday night drinking and dancing and smoking. I'm not advocating that's the best life, but I'm just saying that's what religion has done for us. To be carnally minded would be thinking about anything that's adamantly opposed to the things of God. So to be carnally minded would be murmuring, complaining. Man, I want to tell you something. You'd have to go, it's another sermon, you have to go read it over in the book of Revelations, but it talks about that there's a relationship that and the angels in heaven look at us, and they look at us like, wow, these guys are amazing. But then they get around us and they're like, I don't understand this. Because angels are only one-dimensional in the sense that they only understand faith because they've been with God forever. So they only understand the things of faith. And here we are, sons of God, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, going to live eternally in heaven with God, walk the streets of gold, live in the mansions that he's made for us, have all this glory, have the awesome opportunity to proclaim the about Jesus. Going to judge the world. Yet we stand around and talk like we're not even saved. Talk like God's not going to do anything for us. Talk like there is no heaven. Talk like our God is powerless. And when you read all that and you look at it, they're kind of like shaking their heads like saying, we don't understand this. That's being carnally minded is when our mouth begins to line up with doubt and unbelief. That's carnally minded. Carnally minded is when you don't believe God can do what he said he could do. How about that? I just said that away. You're carnally minded when you are speaking out of your mouth what God, not believing in what God said he'd do. When you're murmuring and complaining is negative. You're carnally minded. Your brain and your mouth are causing you death. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I just love Pastor Rob. Look, let's read on. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So in other words, once you step out of and you get in carnally minded, full of doubt and unbelief, you're stepping out of the principles of the kingdom of God's operation of faith. So it's not even subject now to the laws of faith. You got yourself out there and just never, never land. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What does it say in Hebrews 11:6? What pleases God? Faith, right? So it says right here. Those are in the flesh, and they'll never please God. Well, that's right, because you're not in faith. The only thing that pleases God is faith. Are you with me? I've said this over and over and over again. If you really want to do things that you believe are not pleasing to God, and you really, really want to do that, and that's really a part of your life, and it really drives you to go and do the things that you know are not pleasing to God, well, then you really have serious, more serious issues in your relationship with God than just faith. I question if you ever really committed your life to Jesus for the very first time. Now, I'm not talking about you're trying to quit eating chocolate cake and it's beckoning you and screaming from the icebox. I'm not talking about that. Y'all with me? I mean, even me as a preacher, sometimes I don't want to come to church. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you got discouraged. I'm talking about if there's something really broken in your relationship with Jesus, you need to do some real soul searching. You need to do some real crying out to him. See, I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to displease my Heavenly Father. I don't want to displease Jesus. Do I? Yeah. Because we're all human and we mess up. That's a different thing. It's called repentance. But there was a time in my life I didn't really care if I pleased God or not, because I was wanting to please Robert. See what I'm saying? There's a difference. He says, but if you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. So in other words, it's a good thing when you have conflict going on in your soul. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's a good thing when you feel convicted about something you did. You know the Spirit of God's alive on the inside of you. If you don't care, you got some serious problems. You're not saved. Right? Hello? I'm not talking about disciplining your flesh. I'm talking about not having any conviction. If you don't have any conviction, the Holy Ghost is not talking to you. If the Holy Ghost is not talking to you, maybe he's not on the inside of you. You know the story that Jesus told about, there was two people and two brothers, and the father told them to go out in the field and work. One of them said, okay, I'll go work, and then he didn't. He went off, did what he wanted to. And then the other brother said, I ain't going to do it. And then later he got convicted and he went and did it. I mean, that's what I'm talking about here. That's what I'm talking about here. If your heart's in a place where you just aren't convicted, and you say, oh, yeah, that's that. Yeah, we want to do that, but you don't really care about it. Folks, I doubt you're a son. But if you say, I don't want to do that, Lord, I don't want to go forgive or whatever, I don't want to do that. But then later you're convicted, and you say, I know it's right. I know I got to go do it. That's a good thing. You're convicted. You can give yourself a high five and says, I may not be going anywhere, but bless God, I'm saved. You got somewhere to start to work. Right? Yeah, it's good news. Good news. Okay, so the last thought here. So your mind then is connected to your mouth. And as you're complaining, you're lining up with doubt. And that's why you're discouraged. So if you get your mind lined up with the Word of God, then your spirit is on search mode. It's going to begin to bring up to you the things of faith. And then you're going to enter into faith. And then when you enter into faith, you're going to see the miracle happen. It's the way the principles work in the kingdom of God. It's the way faith operates. It's the way faith operates. Now, you know, I have one friend who's always telling me, he'll call me up and he'll tell me a problem. And I'll say, well, let's pray about it. He'll say, well, no, no, don't. Let's not pray about that. There's bigger things that we need to pray about. We don't need to waste a prayer on that. And I mean, the way I perceive his thinking is he just got so many prayers in his pocket that could get answered. And you don't really want to pull the prayer card unless you just have to. Because, you know, you don't want to overuse it. It might not work, you know. And I always am trying to tell him that is not what God wants. He wants to answer all of your prayers, from the major big prayer to the little simple prayer. The Bible says God wants to give you the desires of your heart. And I have some pretty strange desires. I have things that all of a sudden now that used to be something of the real norm that now is really bad. Like, I like guns. And I like pretty ones. And I have prayed for guns, pretty ones that I wanted that were hard to find. And you know what? I got them. Oh my God, that's horrible. That's wicked that you would ever talk to God about a gun. I cling to my guns in my Bible. I think it's a great place to be. I'm not embarrassed to say it. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just like them. Y'all with me? All I'm saying is God wants to bless you with so much more than you probably have ever even thought of asking him for. Amen? So let's get our faith on search mode. Let's get our spirit on search mode, finding out where we need to operate in faith and see some victories. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. And if you would stand to your feet, please. And can I have my prayer team come down, pastoral team? Church, listen to me. If you're here today and God's speaking to your heart, that's a glorious thing. If you need prayer, you want to pray about something, we've got people up here that'll pray with you, agree with you, help you, whatever you need. I don't want anybody to leave today feeling like there was something you needed or wanted and you didn't get. We're here for you. And listen. Don't let anything get in your way. Don't let any concerns or fears, listen to me. Here at Living Waters Church, we just love you and we just want to see God moving in your life. That's all. That's all. But if you're here today and maybe you're not sure of your salvation, you're not sure that if you died today you'd go to heaven, or you're not sure really where you are with Jesus, and you want to pray and to really find Him in life, well, we're here for you. I don't believe in trying to push you. I don't believe in trying to get you to do something. I believe that if you're really hungry for the things of God and you're really serious, then as I dismiss this service, you'll walk up here to the front and pray with one of these great people. They'll bless you and help you and do whatever you need, okay? So don't leave today in need. Let Jesus touch you. Amen? So look at the person beside you on your left and right and say, hey, get your spirit on search mode. And take their hand and let me pray for you and dismiss this service. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just pray for everybody in here. I ask you, Lord God, to just bless them today, to minister to them today, that whatever they have need of, Lord God, that as they turn their spirits on search mode, that they're just going to find you. They're going to find exactly what they need. You're going to speak to them, Lord. You're going to talk to them. They're going to hear your voice clearly. And I just declare that the blessings of God are going to fall from heaven upon them because they're operating the principle of the kingdom of God called faith. So, Lord, I ask you today to just bless them, that as we go out into this world, Lord God, and we run across people, let us tell them about Jesus, how great you are, how wonderful you are. And, Lord, I thank you for it, and I praise you for it, Lord. And bless them all now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're here for you if you need us. Come on down and we'll pray with you. Please.